Alex Breitenbach.
I'm Sean Cabrera, and this is the Big Red Hockey Cast, the official podcast of Big Red Men's Ice Hockey. So, welcome to the second episode of this podcast from the Line of Faithful for the Line of Faithful. Alex, how are we feeling today?
Sean, I'm feeling absolutely amazing. How are you feeling?
I am feeling spectacular. All right. So I guess without further ado, we should go straight on to the weekend recap. So as we know, the Cornell Big Red Men's ice hockey team did travel to Harvard, and they experienced a little bit of a roadblock as they actually encountered their first loss of the season, 3-2. So Alex, let me ask you, what did you see from that game?
Yes, so I have a lot to talk about here because this was a wonderful weekend of hockey, but let's get down to Harvard first. So I just have to do a few reflections on the atmosphere at the Bright Landry Hockey Center, the home of the Harvard Crimson. Now, at Cornell, we don't call it Lina East for nothing, and I swear you have to be there and see it to believe it. It is a sea of Big Red hockey fans in Boston. So it is essentially Lina Rink in Boston. And that was honestly one of the most exhilarating and thrilling experiences I've ever had to do in my life. I also heard through the grapevine, and this is crazy, that because so few Harvard fans and students actually go, it's free for Harvard students to go. But if you're not a Harvard student, you have to pay $40. So
40?
Yeah. No. So goodness. It was an $80 trip to Boston to go see to go to this hockey game. And I got to say, it was truly surreal from the, because it was basically all the same chants as you would see at Lina. You'd right. see a whole bunch of, when we would score, the place would go nuts when Cornell scored. That's unheard of.
Amen.
That's truly unheard of.
I guess we have two homes.
And like even, we have two homes here and Lina East, which is, and that's why they call it that. And, it was an honor to ring the cowbell in Boston, which was amazing. They did the telephone and all of that. It was great. It was an absolutely phenomenal game to watch. Although I got to say, even though we didn't really like the result, still a great game to watch and still an amazing atmosphere that still gives me chills. And it's hard to believe that such an atmosphere like that even exists. But, let's go down to the nitty-gritty here. So we have the 3-2 loss at Harvard, absolutely demoralizing for the Big Red Line of Faithful and Line of East. So we had goals from Sam Malinsky and Matt Steinberg at that game. Early in the game, too, we came out blazing, and then we kind of tapered off towards the end. But we had two goals, Sam Malinsky, Matt Steinberg. We had assists from Ben Berard, Sam Malinsky, and Tim Rigo. Now let's get down to the power play. Power play there, again, still not very good. 1 of 6, but 4 of 5 on the penalty kill. So defensively, we're pretty solid. Joe Howe in goaltending, he got the nod to take the net, and he made 19 saves, and that clocked up for about an 864 save percentage. So, And I would never even blame the goalie for that. Our goaltending was spectacular, I would say, for our performance at Harvard. I thought, they got off to a great start, but for me, it was really passing consistency towards the second half of the game. You start to see lack of passing consistency combined with lack of production on the power play, and you get a little bit of hesitancy there. I think we came out blazing but got a little bit tired, and then – honestly, that last goal, the one where they took the lead, where Joe Howe, that actually was originally ruled no goal. And that was because the puck went in the net, but at the same time the puck went in the net, Joe Howe, inadvertently knocked the net off its mooring.
I just remember seeing that, and I just remember how the emotions, everyone was just grunting after the decision. Of course, I'm not going to step on your toes there. That's all yours to talk about.
No. Absolutely. That's, that was honestly, that was very demoralizing because the fact that, and then on top of that, they rang it off the post with 2 seconds left. They rang it off the post. They would have scored. That would have been an amazing comeback to see. But from Harvard, definitely demoralizing, but also still a very fun game to watch and a good effort Schaaf in general, he had this to say about it. I get the sense that he was pleased with the effort in the beginning, but not towards the end. And because he had said this, he said, it's not about shots on goal and it's not about carrying the play. It's not about doing this or that. It's about winning. And so I get the sense from Schaaf's recap that really the moral of the story is that this team is not like it's not about producing shots on goal, but more about learning how to win. You can pepper the goalie with shots, but more in the end, it's about carrying and persevering through to the end of the game. And you know, like the third period matters just as much as the first and second. So like that, honestly, are some good takeaways from this game. What about you, Sean? What do you think?
Well, from that 3-2 loss against Harvard, we, like you said, we saw Cornell go up 2-0 within what, the first 10 minutes or so. And it seemed, it seemed to really be a Cornell party straight in the beginning. And of course, I think we have to mention it. There was a fight and it was a very,
to say the big least. Fight.
You were right there in the stand, so I could only imagine that it must have been electrifying.
Oh, in my end too. Yeah. In my end.
So you got front, you got front row seats to a theoretical UFC match right there in front of you on the ice.
Definitely a very heated match. We'll definitely start to see the little bits of rivalry that are starting to reignite after so long.
Yeah, I mean, again, oldest Ivy versus the youngest Ivy, you know?
Yeah.
And, of course, like I said, we gave Harvard, we basically put our money where our mouths are, as the idiom goes. But Harvard, to the disappointment of many Cornellians out there, or the line of faithful en général, as the French say. They came back three.
Excuse my obviously, French.
No, it's all good. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I can verify that.
Yeah.
We, of course, encountered that 3-2 loss. And it just kind of baffled me because, again, it seems like we had all the possession in the world, all the time in the world in just those first 10 minutes. It seemed like the world was ours. And Harvard might have used that negativity to come back, really, and in their favor. And it turns out 3-2 loss was not out of their reach, obviously.
Yeah.
But in the end of the day, it's not something that Cornell should be really too depressed over. I'd understand if the players were beating themselves up a little bit because, again, letting go a 2-0 lead in Harvard is obviously,
It
stings. It leaves a sour taste in the mouth. But overall, what can you do? That's just the sport. That's just the nature of the game. And like you said, Joe Howe, you can never beat up the goalie, right?
Not really. Honestly, and most of those goals, you know, there was really nothing you could do about it. I mean,
freak shots.
I got to say one thing for the defense: they got to watch the back door. That second goal, that was, you know, and he gave it his all. He really did. He tried because you know they had 1, 2, 3 shots coming at him in like this quick in succession. And then you know he got the first. In the second and then a third, I'm like, oh no, there's no way. And you know, they scored and I felt like, oh, that sucks. But you know, you really can never blame a goalie for that. That's just not. And I think as Schaaf said, you know, it's about winning games. But I love the heroic story from, you know, you face adversity, you lose at Line of East, but yet you take that, you ruminate on it, you take the night, you sleep on it, and you come back and you come out screaming at Dartmouth.
Good.
What about Dartmouth, man?
Very well said. And just before we go into Dartmouth, I always like to say, just as a final statement, a goalie is only as good as his defense. We could just leave it at that. And with that, we're going to go straight into the Dartmouth game. Cornell managed to successfully survive a 9-goal thriller, 5-4 win over Dartmouth. Now, Alex, I could only imagine that for you, that game must have been absolutely like heart attacking, just to say the very least.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was back and forth the entire night. Absolutely exhilarating game to watch. So let's break it down. So we had goal. So again, as you said, 5-4 win over Dartmouth, basically edge of your seat the entire time, sweating bullets. Just an absolutely great game. So we had goals from, and this list is long, so I'm going to read this.
Take your
Jack
time.
Malone, Kyle Penny, and then our boy Ben Berard, which I know you have so much to say about Ben Berard. Hat trick from Ben Berard. What do you think?
Well, let me just say I might have hit the nail on the head with this one. I remember vividly thinking to myself, you know what, if I had to choose just prematurely, or not even prematurely, just based on the preseason itself, a breakout star, it would be Ben Berard. And Ben Berard delivered amazingly. He delivered amazingly against Dartmouth. Of course, a hat trick, not an everyday occasion you get to see that. But nonetheless, a hat trick in the Ivy League, and I guess an Ivy League opponent rather. And again, Ben Berard, he was basically my betting horse for breakout star. And right now he's proving me right. Right now he's proving me right. So big kudos to him. He was an offensive powerhouse. He was a thorn in the side of really the Dartmouth defense. He wouldn't let them rest whatsoever. Oh, yeah. He was always there. He was always digging somewhere. And he was just sniffing out every opportunity possible. And it was only a matter of time till he got his hat trick, really. And on top of that, he still delivered an assist in that game as well, not to mention the game before against that Harvard loss. So really, Ben Berard has become a massive name on this Big Red side.
Yes. Yes. No, exactly. I agree 100%. I think you, like, that was absolutely spot on. Your prediction, dude, I'm glad I didn't bet money on it, because I would have lost. But, like, no, that was great. Yes. So as you said, you know, hat trick from Ben Berard. And I find this interesting. We have assists from both Tupker twins, both Ben and Zach Tupker, Kyle Betts, Kyler Kovic, and then Andre Sanica, and then Brendan Locke, Hank Kempf, Matt Steinberg, and Sam Malinsky. Man, that is a mouthful. A lot of assists going into that 9-goal night for both teams. And so then power play. I got to say the power play was absolutely abysmal. Yeah. But, you know, we scored, we delivered at even strength. And that is something to be said. But 0 of 4 on the power play, found that very interesting. And then we were 2 of 3 on the penalty kill. Dartmouth did score once on their power play. But, you know, the penalty kill is still solid for Big Red. So, obviously, that defensive core really coming in big. And we see goaltending. We have Nate McDonald making his first league play debut. Not his ECAC debut. Not necessarily season debut, but still – his debut facing an Ivy League opponent. He made 13 saves, and that clocks out for a 7.65 save percentage. So, you know, again, I think the numbers lie here, because I think, you know, I don't really think the numbers speak to Nate's ability and to, you know, the role that he has on the team, as well as the strength of the Cornell defense. Because I think, you know, every so often you have a game where you'll come away with the win, but the numbers don't really seem like, you know, they're the best. But I think ultimately in this case, the numbers lied, because I think, you know, that was a great showing, definitely a good showing defensively, and an absolutely unbelievable performance on offense, obviously from our boy Ben Berard, like you said, but the hat trick and just an absolutely ungodly display of offense from the Big Red here, leaving us on the edge of our seat, like I said, sweating bullets the entire time. What a great game to watch.
Of course, you could also say, like, just going off of your point, both sides were really inspired, at least on the offensive ends. Both sides were completely inspired. Both of them were absolutely vivid, vivacious, however you want to put it.
So, 100%.
Like you said, numbers don't always speak the game. You can't really be considered a fan of any sport for that matter if you're only basing it on statistics. You also got to look at just simply how do they play. You got to look at the hows, not only the what was the results.
Just
to summarize.
Yes, honestly, no, that's a great summary. And I think that Schaaf would definitely agree with that analysis too, because Schaaf had a very interesting recap of this game. He says, we talked about not having a slow start, and they played with poise. And that's definitely true. They came out blazing, and they bounced right back, and they played well. And Schaaf also had to say that it was one of the wildest finishes he'd ever been a part of, which I would have to agree with that, because it was just an unbelievable finish. Kyler Kovic almost having his goal on the open net, and then it getting turned over, and then coming back, and then Ben Berard scores the hat trick.
Amen.
Unbelievable sequence of plays there, which, you know, just an absolutely great time and a great game. So, you know, for the line of faithful, it did not disappoint one bit. So, you know, just a great game and a great weekend of hockey for the Big Red, I would say.
That is an excellent summary. And I know we're obviously there's a puck in hockey, but you know how the expression goes, ball don't lie. And
yeah,
it didn't lie, man. It did not lie whatsoever. Cornell really had to face very tough Ivy League opponents. Definitely not just like cakewalks. Again, a 3-2 loss against Harvard, against a very, very inspired Harvard side. I don't know how they came back, to be quite honest. It had to be that negativity that surged into something. And this time against a very confident Dartmouth that one's not often too used to seeing. But again, a very, very heroic performance, particularly by Ben Berard, who again is my betting horse for breakout star this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and definitely, you know, Dartmouth was out for blood. They'd lost so badly to Harvard. They, you know, they were licking their wounds. They're trying to come back, and they did put on a show. But we prevailed in that case. I think, you know, it was a great show. And honestly, you know, I'm just going to segue into here. So this week I know last week we had Cody Haskinen on, and Cody Haskinen giving his opinion as a fifth year and sitting down with us on the Sin Bin. We're both equally as excited to present for the Sin Bin this week. We have Kyle Betts, the fifth year from Flesherton, Ontario, number 11, Kyle Betts. We've been waiting for him for a long time, and you know, it was a great honor to have a conversation with him. You know, so it was a great conversation.
It was, and right before we get to that, just a bit of a heads up that the look ahead. We do have to face Union November 12th. And after that, the Cornell Big Red men's side will face RPI in line of rink once more on November 13th. And so thank you for tuning in to this part of the Big Red Hockey Cast, as now we have the Sin Bin with Kyle Betts.
Yep. All right, welcome back to the Sin Bin of the Big Red Hockey Cast, week two. I'm really excited for this week's episode because today we have a very special guest. I know last week we had Cody Haskinen on, but now today I am so honored to introduce the fifth year from Flesherton, Ontario, number 11, Kyle Betts. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's good to see you. So practice went well. I know we said this off air, but good practice today.
Yep. Yeah. Our Tuesday practices are typically pretty high pace, but short. So hard work for about an hour. Get up and down the ice, get a good sweat in, and then we hop off and watch some videos. Nice. So Tuesdays are a fan favorite. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'll bet. All right. So without that, I'll just dive right in here. You okay with that?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Awesome. So with that, so league play has officially begun, and we're starting to see the beginnings of which teams will ultimately play big roles in contention for the ECAC title and possibly even a run at the NCAA tournament. And so as one of the captains of the Big Red, how are you feeling about the team's start this year after four games?
Yeah, honestly, pretty happy with the start we've had. With the young group we have, I think there's a lot of question marks coming into it. And I think that being 3-1 after four games with the schedule we've had, I just think that, sorry about that, guys. Teammates coming through the locker room here.
No. Good. It's perfectly fine.
It's as authentic as possible.
So yeah, I'll continue the giggles.
This is so natural and so authentic. I got the giggles because of it.
No, you're getting real luck here in the locker room, yeah. sorry about that.
All good.
No
worries.
Back to your question. Yeah, I mean, obviously you would have liked to get a few more points against Alaska the opening weekend. But I think, you know, with the group we've had, I think it's more important with this team to really think about how we're developing and making sure we're heading towards peaking, you know, in that April period. And, you know, we've already learned a ton of lessons. Obviously, the Dartmouth game was a roller coaster. And really good learning experience for young guys and for the old guys coming back about, you know, how hard it is to close out games. So really proud of the lessons we've been able to learn. And to pick up three wins while doing it, you can't be too disappointed with that.
Oh yeah, I'll bet. And so now, how are you feeling about the chemistry that you have between your new line mates? You have Andre Sanica and you have Kyle Penny, the Kyle line. How does that feel? Like, you know, you had an old line, you had Noah Ball, you had Tristan Mullen, but now those two are gone and now you have new blood on your line. So how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I know coming into the season, Shave kind of said he kind of pictured me with Andre and Penner. And, you know, I played with Tristan Mullen for about 6 years, so it hasn't seen much change in my life. It was definitely good for me, I think, to play with some new guys. And those guys are both just workhorses. It's been fun to play with them. They play a very similar style to me, so we kind of come at each other. Not the most skilled line, but we'll go in and forecheck, cause some turnovers. And I think that's when we've been at our best, is we're just being kind of disturbers down low. And really proud of the way those guys have come into the lineup as freshmen, picked up our systems well. And yeah, can't say enough about how well those guys have played and made it easy for me to get started this season.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. I'll bet. That's awesome. So now, after a heartbreaking league play opening loss to the Harvard Crimson, I was there, rang the cowbell. Great game. Absolutely heartbreaking. We snapped the 12-game winning streak that had carried over from your junior year, and ultimately the Crimson prevailed. But what were you feeling after the game? What was the vibe like in the locker room? And what do you think the Big Red could have done better? And furthermore, what wise words of inspiration did the almighty Shafe have to say to you and the boys for coping with a loss? And then...
Yeah, so I think the first thing I'd say is obviously we want to beat those guys every time we step on the ice with them. Rivals, not just for us personally to beat them, but I know how much it means to all the alumni and all our fans, like how passionate they are about that Harvard game. So it was heartbreaking for us to not be able to get the 2 points and get that win for ourselves and for everyone who cares about Cornell hockey. But looking at it kind of in the bigger picture kind of scheme here, you know, I thought as a whole we played really well. And there's a lot of positive we could take out of that game. That's going to be one of the top teams in our league. And I think that gives us some confidence because we knew we could have easily won that game. A lot of small things that we got to tidy up. And against a team like Harvard, if you make those mistakes, they're going to, you know, cast in them. And I think we saw that, you know, when they scored their 2 goals, both just little errors. And that's a team that's skilled enough, they'll make you pay. So, you know, Shafe was really good about it, honestly. You know, he obviously spoke about, like, the importance of that game and how, like, obviously we want to win, but we talked about how it's going to be a growing year for us and how we got to be able to take that loss and now turn it into a learning lesson and apply it. You know, when we play those top teams, you got to know that, you know, you got to be safe with the puck and you can't turn pucks over and you can't give teams breakaways and all those little things that will hopefully lead to success for us in the future, not only against those guys, but against other top teams. You know, we got a tough schedule this year, a lot of really strong outer league games too. We're going to face teams a lot like Harvard. So, on the whole, obviously disappointing, but really proud of the way the guys battled, and hopefully they'll apply some lessons we learned to future games.
Yeah, no, I'll bet. That's awesome.
Now, of course, Kyle, we're coming back from those Harvard and Dartmouth games. So if you don't mind me asking you, on a personal level, which opponent are you most looking forward to playing against this season?
That's a great question. There's a lot this year. But I've been really looking forward to the North Dakota trip. That's a really cool building.
All right.
And, you know, playing with Cody for 5 years, going back to his whole, like, kind of home area. He's really excited for it. And they're a good team, and it's a crazy crowd. So I love playing the road, too. That's another thing. I just love going the road and trying to quiet buildings. So I'm just looking forward to going on the road there.
All right. Oh, yeah. Looks like we got a double homecoming sort of feeling toward North Dakota in a way. Like you mentioned last time, Cody Haskinen also was looking forward to that match in particular in the near future. And yeah. I guess that being said, Kyle, what are your feelings about the kindling of new and old rivalries, you know, especially after playing Harvard and Dartmouth once again, you know, during this eventful weekend?
Yeah, there's definitely no love lost there. You could tell me from the first puck drop, you know, we just hate those guys so much.
Oh yeah,
all week. You know, we're talking, just watching film of those guys, I just say, yeah, I can't stand watching them play. I just don't want them to see any success. So yeah.
Oh yeah,
it's even Dartmouth too, obviously, like, not as maybe big as a rival, but fair. You know, anytime you're playing an Ivy League team, there's just that extra little, you know, little grit, little shoves after the whistle, it feels like, just because it's, you know, teams you're playing against that are very much in the same kind of lifestyle as you are, care about the same kind of things, and there's always a little competition extra between the Ivy League teams.
Yeah, that's fair to say. Would you say it's sort of like a brotherly rivalry, or just a full-on like slaughterhouse when it comes to this sort of rivalry?
I wouldn't say brotherly at all. No, I no.
Oh, really? So no love lost there, man. That's awesome. Yeah, and I can't even imagine, you know, Harvard, the Lion of East, you know, packed with Big Red fans and one measly section of Harvard fans. That game was unbelievable, and it never ceases to amaze.
Yeah, all 4 years, it's just been awesome playing there. I think there's nothing more diminishing for a home team than when your own crowd is getting drowned out by the Big Red. And yeah, just fuels the fire how much I hate those guys. I love to see crowd come and just be the louder group, the band outperform their band. It's all around, it just seems like there's a lot of tension in the stands. So
I know on a personal level, I had cowbell battles with the other guy who was like in the band and whatever. That was awesome. And then the We Can't Hear Yous from the stand. Unreal. No, just great.
So Kyle, so last week we sat down with one of your fellow fifth years and co-captains, Cody Haskinen. And of course we asked him about his experience and thoughts on being among the most tenured players on the Big Red hockey team, and of course being a mentor for the younger players. Now, do you feel as captain also that you have an increased role in not only your performance on the ice, but also as a mentor for the new players?
I think, of course, there comes a little bit of extra responsibility. But I think about like my freshman year and the leadership that we received from guys like Alex Router, you know, Mitch Vanderlyn, you know, the list goes on and on, like guys that didn't even necessarily wear the C, the seniors that year. And it just kind of natural progression as you come through the program. You're expected to pick up more of that leadership role and be there for the freshmen. And obviously the 14 this year, it feels like there's maybe a little bit extra there too. Just there's just number wise, the quantity you need to be keeping, you know, tabs on, making sure they're doing the things they need to do to be successful here. But, you know, it's something that I'm proud to do. And it's kind of paying back the program because the guys that came before you did it for you. So it's only fair that you do it for the younger guys now.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. And if I could follow that question up with just this sort of curious one, what exactly fueled your desire to return as a fifth year and play for the Big Red once more?
Yeah, it was obviously a lot that went into the decision. I was definitely very frustrated when Cornell canceled their season last year. And I think my immediately thought was panic. And my parents, I remember calling them the day the season got canceled. And I said, I'm out of here. Like, screw this. Like, screw Cornell. And obviously that's just the immaturity in me. I mean, it's tough to put into words when you see 52 other teams play, and for some reason you guys are looking out. And I remember my parents saying like, hey, just relax, let it settle for a few days and let's revisit the decision. And, they've always been, you know, that kind of calming voice in my head. So after a few days of kind of self-reflection and able to think more, you know, my head straight, it just made the most sense for me. Cornell's my home. I've stayed here every summer, basically lived here for 4 years straight now. And
really?
I've been a Ithacan, I guess.
Look at that.
And you know, I just really believe in the group we had coming back. You know, I think the young guys, like that sophomore class, kind of stepping up to be juniors now. They had such good freshman years, and you're kind of seeing that development they've already had through this year, really taking on bigger roles. And, you know, our freshman class, a ton of talent there too. And I think especially when Cody and Locker were also in the same kind of decision, thinking that we may come back, that made it easier as well. I think it would have been tough to come back as the only fifth year, but having a couple of guys to be there with you really made my decision obvious. And, you know, this coaching staff has always put a lot of faith in me and, you know, give me opportunity to succeed here. And, I just felt like all that they've done for me, it just didn't make any sense to go anywhere else and finish my college career anywhere else. So
I got you.
Yeah, because we definitely saw a lot of turnover with some of the old guys, you know, going other places. Obviously, losing Matt Golada to Notre Dame and stuff. So that definitely means a lot that you stayed. And actually, I know I asked Cody this question last week, so I'm going to ask you this question this week as well, because I think it applies to both of you. Now, who was your mentor growing up as a member, like, you know, even as a freshman, sophomore, as you work your way through the years, who was your mentor?
I think, well, a lot of guys, honestly. You have different relationships with different guys, and they really kind of shape the kind of person you become here at Cornell in different ways. I think one guy had a big impact on me, maybe hockey-wise, was Mitch Vanderlyn. He's a captain my freshman year as a junior, captain as a senior as my sophomore year, and just a guy that just works like nobody else. And seeing the way he practiced and his daily focus, I think really shaped the way that I wanted to play and kind of player I'm become was here. And all just the best dude ever. Can't say enough good things about the guy. He just, you know, honest as can be, told you how it was. And I just always thought his leadership style was something that I envisioned myself as hopefully being someday. And I hope, you know, wearing a C now myself, I, you know, strive to be what he was able to you know, be for me to the younger guys.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that. Now, so you have had an exceptional career in your tenure with the Big Red. You've had 31 points since your freshman year in 2017-2018 season. You had 11 goals and 20 assists overall. And additionally, the season before the COVID pandemic, you had 10 points, 3 goals, 7 assists. Now, with that, do you have any goals for this season? As a player, as now as the one of the captains of the Big Red, as a fifth year, do you have any goals for your season? Do you want to just, you know, try to be the best you can be? And, you know, what do you think it will take to achieve any personal goals that you may have?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest lessons I've learned since I've been here is, you know, how to evaluate yourself after a game. I think a lot of times when I was younger, I'd look at those statistics and I'd be very much trying to evaluate myself. If I wasn't like producing points, I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm not playing well. Or if I was producing points, I'm like, oh, I'm playing great. And one of the things that we've really strived to teach guys here at Cornell is to evaluate yourself more so on how you're playing and not so much the statistics. I'm sure they've never been the most offensive guy, and a lot of the ways I contribute to the team is more so like penalty kill and bring energy. So I think a big part of my development as a player and a person has been to evaluate myself more so. And if I'm doing those things, that can benefit the team. So that's been my biggest focus this year as a senior. And I think even more so, you know, as my final year here, it's more about the team success. I think you really learn that as you come along at Cornell too. The program you have here, it's just very selflessness. And I think it's more important to me how far this team can get and if you can push for an ECC title. That's one thing I didn't talk about in the last question too, but when I was thinking about coming back, I remember I had this random sheet in my computer that Shafe made us fill out before we came in as freshmen, outlining some of our goals. And I remember looking down and seeing one of them was win an ECAC title. And I feel like we've been so close, you know, so many times.
Oh yeah.
I just feel like I would have graduated without getting that done. I think I'm really disappointed. So for me, obviously, individually, I want to make sure I'm taking care of the stuff that I can and make sure I'm, you know, bringing that energy and, you know, being a driving force for the team. But then the day, you know, I want an ECC title. That'd be the goal. And that's always been my goal since day one.
Respect that,
Yeah.
man.
No, I would say that, you know, as one of the only remaining like upperclassmen now that wasn't a freshman, you know, before the pandemic, that definitely would mean a lot. You know, the first ECAC title since 2010, and we've been so close every year. And then to have that year where it's just ripped
Yeah.
from us is crazy. No, but that's a great goal. I love that.
Yeah, proper swan song, you know, I get it. I get it, man. It's proper. It's proper, and I respect that goal. And it's attainable. It's very reachable given Cornell standards, obviously, in the sport. So of course we wish you the best of luck in those endeavors. And you know, you're a fifth year, and on a more personal note, you were awarded the Wendell and Francilia Earle Award for Outstanding Academic Achievement in 2019. So, I know you were in the College of Engineering, and we got to ask you, what has it been like as a student, and obviously that college, having to balance your academic work and course load, given that you're also one of the key hockey players?
Wait. And yeah. Now, before you answer that, I just want to ask the key question. What is your major? I've been dying to know that.
So I study electrical and computer engineering is my official major.
Good for you. Good for you, bro.
Dude.
But as far as balancing, I guess, the school life with hockey, I take a lot of pride in my academics. I think it's a big reason why I came to a place like Cornell. If, you come to a place like Cornell, you want to get the most out of your education while you're here. And growing up, I was lucky. I always knew I wanted to do engineering. For some reason, I love math, science. I love the creative process. So when I got recruited by Benny to come to Cornell, I immediately said hey, I want to do engineering here. And I remember Benny saying, oh, okay. Keep your options open. Since I've been here, actually this is the first year we have a freshman on engineering, but since the other 4 years I've been here, I was the only engineer. So it's definitely a lonelier spot. And I know not a lot of guys are going into it, but it's something I take a lot of pride in. Like I said, to be able to balance both, it obviously takes a lot of time management and, a lot of times when your buddies are watching TV or, maybe gaming a bit, you got to do homework, which kind of sucks. But at the end of the day, when I can graduate and I can say I did engineering and, contributed to this team, I'm going to be very proud of that. And it's very rewarding to be able to say you do both.
Yeah, I'll say that's crazy. That really is crazy. That is, I think really a true embodiment of an awesome work ethic. And I just can't get over that, especially on a team that's dominated by, I would say, hotelies and, other majors that may not be as demanding. Electrical engineering. That was probably the last thing I was expecting you to say. I'm genuinely surprised and I congratulate you on that. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I honestly, it's funny. Cause I get this question a ton, how do you do it? Why do you do it? And, I love it. Honestly, it makes it easy when you're passionate about what you're studying. So I always, when freshmen tell me or ask me what they should study, I always say, regardless of the difficulty, pick something you're interested in. Cause if you actually like what you're studying, you're not going to mind, staying a little bit later to do the work. And, it's, as I mentioned before, we actually have a freshman this year, Michael Suda, who's studying civil engineering. So it's been nice to have another freshman or another engineer in the team. I've been kind of helping them through some of those early classes and hoping to see a few more guys hopefully go through the engineering path.
Kudos to you, man. You literally put the Cornell in Cornell Big Red Hockey, legit. Good for you. Good for you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that statement. No, that's now. Do you ever have to grind out work when you're on the bus? I just be honest here. When you're on the plane or you're on the bus, you're going somewhere and Shafe is showing you video. After Shafe shows you the videos and everybody else is sleeping on the bus, are you doing work?
So it's actually gone a lot better. The upperclassmen classes have been seem like less workload, but I remember freshman year engineering kind of workload at Cornell is pretty madness. The classes are just nonstop. And I remember all the time on the bus, I'd be sitting there doing work and all the older guys would come up and pick on me, they're back there playing, Euchre or something like that with the cards. And I'd be sitting there, doing Calc 1 or something like that. And I definitely used the bus time. And that's honestly, I'm proud I did because I definitely wouldn't have got through at a freshman year. I don't think without it. That was the biggest key to my success was kind of find those little times when, if you weren't doing something, hey, bring out your books, get some work done, save yourself some time Sunday. It was always bus time was my homework time.
Hey, man, awesome. Again, you're,
yeah,
it's really incredible to believe that you're juggling both engineering and, a nationally ranked hockey team both at the same time. So again, the biggest kudos to you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And now, so looking ahead to this weekend, so Big Red's going to face Union and RPI this weekend, two pretty marquee matchups, I'd say. And so how is the team feeling about being back at home officially for league play now that you've graduated from Alaska Fairbanks are moving on to official ECAC play. Is the team excited? How's the locker room vibe going there?
Yeah, there's a ton of excitement to be back home. I think once you're at this stage now, heading to game five, you know, the freshmen have an idea what's going on. Older guys, you know, it's different just because of the layoff we've had. I think the older guys are back to the customs of playing, the routine. So it's nice to have that kind of sense of comfortability. I think for the first time this weekend, it's something that having Alaska under a belt, we know what a home weekend looks like. We've done it. So it's good to have that comfortability, and we're definitely jacked up to play. Obviously, we're watching the scoreboards this weekend, you know, seeing a team like Clarkson go on the road to these two teams and really struggle. I think it's, you know, it's been an important message this week is like, yeah, these teams may have not been the strongest, you know, against other teams or probably in the past couple of years, but, you know, you can't overlook any teams this league. And I think Clarkson learned that lesson the hard way this past weekend. So we're just really drilling home, making sure we're taking care of the details we need to not look over these two teams and make sure we take care of business.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
All right. So, oh, sorry. You could go ahead, man.
Oh, no, 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 no. You go ahead. That was, no, I was saying that's great. That's awesome.
It's all good. Now, you know, a final question, at least, you know, scripted wise in a way. Let's ask, do you have any other comments about your expectations for this season, or do you have any reflections on your experience just overall playing for the Big Red?
Yeah, a lot there. I'll just start with what a great experience I've had. I think being able to come back for this fifth year has even given me better perspective on just the memories I've had in 4 years here at Cornell and the friendships I've made with the group of teammates that I've been able to play with. I just talking to other guys that have gone other places now. And I think it's given me really a sense of the brotherhood that we really have at Cornell. And it's unlike almost any team in the nation. You know, I've been lucky enough to chat with guys that transferred this year, transferred last year. And, you know, everyone just says like, hey, like, you know, the grass isn't always green on your side. That's for sure. And I've just been really proud of what we've been able to accomplish in 3 years. You know, being a ranked, you know, three-time Ivy League champions, three times in the tournament, if you count the COVID year, you know, yeah, hopefully three times at Placid. And, but I think a big part of this program is not only, you know, being satisfied with, you know, past success, but, you know, it just makes me that much hungrier to make sure we get it done this year because, you know, obviously it's my last chance, but telling the younger guys, like, I remember losing freshman year to Princeton. Like, obviously it's tough as a freshman when you get close to that ECC title and you don't quite get it.
Of course.
But I think it's easy to be like, oh, you know, but I got three more years. Like, it's going to happen. And I think that COVID was a great learning experience myself to realize, like, don't take anything for granted. Like, it can be taken so quickly. And it's hard. It's really hard to win this league. And I just, to be able to cap off this year with an ECC title would just make, you know, it would mean the world to me. So that's kind of my long-winded story of, I guess, my summation of 4 years here at Cornell. And like, yeah, I said, it kind of leads into your other question, like goals for this year and expectations. I know this group we have in the locker room can get it done. Seeing these guys each day at practice, I think this is as talented of a team as we've had in any year. And yeah, we're young and we're going to have probably more highs and lows than say like a year, 2 years ago, the COVID year. When we had a lot older group and you can see like a maturity, I think, you know, when you're going around like 10 of those throughout the year, it's a big factor is, you know, guys that know how to do it night after night. And I think there'll be more highs and lows with this year, just with the, I guess, amount of new players we have. But I, you know, like Shafe's done a great job every single year at really developing the guys, making sure they're getting kind of peaked for April. And, you know, we're built for the playoffs. So I'm looking forward to that time and obviously the journey to get us there.
100%.
Yeah.
Especially like every team, you know, every game matters. And, you know, I love that. I love that outlook.
Yeah. And, you know, Kyle, that was very well said, very eloquent.
Hey guys,
we can see why you're a co-captain of this Big Red side. And with that, we're going to have to close the Sin Bin segment, but don't go anywhere as we have next the slap shot round. All All right, and now we're back with Mr. Kyle Betts. So, Kyle, we're introducing you to the Slapshot round, where we just throw random questions at you and make it as fun as possible. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
And that was ready question one, and you're ready on the go. So, favorite genre of music?
Probably EDM.
Oh, okay. Favorite artist?
Wow.
I like Martin Garrix a lot. I've always liked his music. I find them, he's got a nice mix of like some chiller stuff and some more amped up stuff. So
I got you. All right.
Now I'm curious, because Cody Haskinen described you as being like a farm guy. He said those words specifically. Like, and I'm curious, like, so there's no love for country at all there?
I don't mind country, and honestly, my dad heard that answer, he'd be very disappointed in me. Because definitely my whole family is strictly country. But get outside the house at 16, I was able to, I guess, see some other parts of the world and develop the taste for EDM.
I mean, it's true. Yeah. I mean, it could get you pumped up. It's a unique genre, to say the least. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. All around. Yeah, Martin Garrix, certainly.
Now, I guess with that follow-up, talking about music, favorite song for lifting with the boys?
It's a good question. Honestly, we listen to a lot of rock in the gym here. So I'd say like Paradise City, Guns N' Roses. When that one comes on, the guys usually get like a clap going together, and it kind of just elevates the energy. So that's what I'll go with that answer.
Love Guns N' Roses. That's great. Awesome. Yeah.
All right. And now, since of course, engineer student, we got to remember that. Favorite Cornell dining hall?
Ooh. I got to go Cook. Only because it's the only one open till 9 o'clock. So after Monday, Wednesday practice, we can't go to any other dining hall. So it's non-negotiable. We have to go to Cook. And they do actually a really good job night after night. So kudos to those guys.
That's interesting. I figured he would have picked one of the on-camp. I could have bet every dollar I had that you were going to say Trillium. Just because, like, you know, engineering, kind of that sort of realm. But, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
If I had to do a second answer, I'd do Matin's Cafe in the engineering quad. It's underrated.
Not
many people.
Okay. Yeah.
You want to shout them out? You want to shout them out?
Yeah, I'll give them a shout out. Their breakfast sandwiches are the best. So you're looking
good. All right.
Awesome. Now this one's going to be definitely a hot take. What is the most underrated film of all time, in your opinion?
Oof. Underrated film.
Take your time. It's perfectly fine. This one takes a bit.
Yeah. I'm pretty basic movie guy. So I'm trying to think of movies I like that maybe aren't as mainstream.
Okay.
It's all right. And if it's not underrated per se, overhated could also make sense.
Yes, that could also apply. Like, you know.
Okay.
Definitely.
That's tough. I gotta go, like, I think I'm a big comedy guy. Like, I'm not a big action guy.
Uh-huh.
I think like a movie like Dodgeball, which is just like
a
bit of humor.
Okay, right answer. That's Dodgeball. A good answer. Good answer.
That's a great answer.
I'll go with my underrated movie is Dodgeball.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Good answer, bro. Good answer. That's a freaking classic.
That's a great answer. Ben Stiller and all that. Oh, yeah. Dodgeball. Yeah. Love it. All right. So now, Louise or Luna?
I'm going to go Luna here.
What? Really? Yeah. No way.
Yeah.
Man, you got to explain. You got to explain, man.
Yeah. I knew a few people who got a little sick from Louis freshman year.
Oh,
so I never really got involved with that. And I've had a few good meals at Luna. It's not my like place of choice, but once in a while I go there. Okay. And no complaints. No one's getting sick anyways.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've only, from personal experience, ever bought like ice cream from Louis. So it's never been like, never had any sick or illness episode. But, you know, Luna would have been my choice too. So that's cool.
Yeah. And actually, in the summer too, a couple of times we went down like the summer concert series down in the Commons. And they got the patio going there at Luna. It's a pretty nice spot to sit down and have a meal. So I'll go bonus for them there.
All right. Fair enough. I mean,
nice.
Having tried both, I'm personally a Louis guy. I mean, nothing quite hits like a 2 a.m. eggplant parmesan sub, but We'll save that for another time. That is a hot take, though. Oh, so I guess somewhat hot take. Speaking of hot takes, what is your way too early prediction of a Stanley Cup winner this season?
Well, this is going to be tough.
The Leafs. This is they're going to break it through here.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
That's I'm telling you, our producer would love you.
Yeah.
Our producer would absolutely just go nuts over the fact that you just said that. He's from Toronto, so.
Yeah. They're going to get through the first round this year, and once they're over the hump, there's no stopping those guys. So
hell yeah, that's a hot take. That's awesome.
Okay.
Great. Right.
Hey, if that's what you think.
No, got to give the Leafs some love. Come on, man.
Hold on. So you're telling me if people right now listening to you and they betted on the Leafs, they could blame you in the near future?
Oh, boy.
Will you take full responsibility?
Hey, if there's anything I've learned is that hockey is a game of, you know, skill, but also chance. So, you know, gamble at your own risk. And this is not investment advice by any means. But yeah, I'm rooting for those guys. I've been a Leafs fan my whole life. And I mean, they're kind of running out of time here, it seems like. So it's basically now or never.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. All right. And we did ask you this briefly before, but hockey opponent that you're looking most forward to playing against this season.
Okay. So since I'm not going to go Nodak again, I think that playing Harvard at home is obviously a cop-out answer, but it is. Right, it's just a game that you can feel the energy and it just drives you the whole night. And especially now that we've lost them there, I think it's got that extra meaning that we need to make sure we beat them at home this year. So looking forward to that game and hopefully getting some revenge.
All right.
Oh, yeah, well, definitely.
We'll see it happen. It'll embody itself. Yeah. We know it'll happen. Mm-hmm. Now, we're similar to that film question we had earlier. Let me reverse that a little bit. What TV show got you thinking, wow, this is overrated?
For me, it's Squid Games.
That was a fast yeah. answer, Kyle.
Ooh. That was he didn't even think about that.
I know that was immediate. No. That was a reflex.
Well, it's just so recent too on my mind. Yeah, there's just so much hype about it. So me and Cody kind of crushed through it on a couple Sundays. And a little bit disappointed. It was fine, but definitely didn't deserve, I think, all the hype that it got.
What disappointed you about it? I thought it was a pretty decent show, except for one part, but I want to hear what you gotta say.
I honestly thought the acting wasn't great. It wasn't very believable.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I just wasn't that invested in the story or the characters. I didn't think the character development was that great.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, won't question that. Won't question that. Yeah. Again, that was a reflex answer, though.
Didn't even think about that one.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. So, all right, you got to break this to us. Who has the best locker room personality out of everybody on the Big Red?
There's a couple guys that come to mind right away. And if I had to pick maybe one, I think Liam Motley is just such an out-of-this-world personality and a guy that can, you know, whether it's a 6:30 lift and the guys are 3/4 asleep, that guy will walk in the room with the most energy. Like, you don't understand how he has it at that hour of the day. And a guy that just says the most random yet hilarious things. He's a great personality, a great friend of mine. I've been able to play with him for 3 years now. He's been a summer guy with me as well too. So I think he's a guy that's just got such a colorful personality and really interesting dude.
Oh, yeah.
And one more thing about him, too, if I could.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
If you had a conversation with this guy, you would think he's just one of the stupidest guys on the planet. Like, he just
oh, my gosh.
Says the most ridiculous things. Like, but incredibly smart guy. It's actually funny. Just one of those guys that can flip it on and off, like, be an absolute intellect when he needs to. And then joke around about the stupidest things the next. It's very funny to see the flip of personality he has.
That's Cornell for you. Oh my God. That's great. That's great. All right. So what, in your opinion, what is the best incident of on-ice chirping you've ever seen as a player for the Big Red? Or actually, you know what? I can expand that further. If you can't find something from the Big Red, it can be from juniors too or whatever. I just got to know, man. This is crazy.
So I think the best story I've heard, I'll get to like a Cornell specific one too, but I know one story that's been floating around this year. I think we've been on Spin Chicklets. I thought was really funny was Byram from Colorado now. And he was playing in the WHL. I guess him and some guy were getting some chirps, and he responded, buddy, like you're gonna be working 9 to 5 next year, and I'll be making 9.25 or something like that. Like entry level salary. So that was,
Whoa.
I think that was a pretty good touch. As far as chirps I've heard from our guys at Cornell, a guy that I love to listen into on the ice is Steiny. He's
Oh, okay.
always he's always running his mouth. It kind of fuels the way he plays. Very gritty guy, and even like when he danced that guy against Dartmouth when he went between the legs and then called the goal off. But I remember like so like we're coming for the train and most guys are just going for the high fives, but Steiny's turned around and he's like yapping at the defenseman. He's like, attaboy D, like you can't even skate or something like that. And like
Oh my God.
he's always just trying to crush guys' confidence. And I
Oh,
think it's
that's
really funny.
crazy. Oh my God. No, that's wonderful. Yeah. And on the chirping note, this is definitely I know we asked Cody this question, but I think this is universal. What is the best chant you think from the line of faithful?
Oh yeah, well, there's a ton, but to me, I think one that was electrifying to me for some reason was the last game before COVID hit, and we're beating Clarkson 5-1 or whatever, and the whole stadium it felt like was chanting overrated at Clarkson, and I know it's a simple chant, but it's something about in that moment just Clarkson, another team that I just despise, hate those guys, always
Yeah.
will. And I remember just like I was on the ice actually there at the last minute and hearing them chant that, like you almost see it in the guys' faces on the ice at Clarkson, like they were just demoralized by this like sound. And I remember we scored, Benny Bird got his hat trick right at the end of the game, like 10 seconds left. And it was like the life was just sucked out of them. It was just something very unique about that moment and that chant and just the energy they're bringing when they're saying it. So like for a particular moment, I think that was the best. But obviously the
Oh
third
yeah.
period chant as far as like recurring coming down the
Yeah.
tunnel, like it's insane just the sound, the way it funnels up our stairwell. I'm not sure if everyone knows this, but we actually come downstairs to get in the ice. It's a unique kind of rink that
Really?
way. So we kind of come down a tunnel of
Oh.
stairs. But when you're coming down for the start of the third period, like the second you get to the top of the stairs, the sound is just funneling up, and you can just hear the band and the fans. And it's just the first time I heard it, I remember like just the hair stood my body. I was just like starstruck. And I still get that feeling every time I come to the tunnel and come up for the third period.
All
All
right.
right.
Now let me ask,
Cause,
because oh, go ahead, Alex.
no, I was gonna say, because I know from a fan's perspective, that definitely raises the hair on the arms, man, because that's just chilling to hear. But I can't even imagine from the player's perspective. And that's interesting. I did not know you guys had a set of stairs you had to come down.
So our locker room is actually on the same, I guess, level as like the concourse. Like when you come into the bleachers or stands, like the doors, we're that high up, and then we come downstairs again to our bench. I've never seen it before until at Cornell, but it's kind of cool and it's different for sure.
Oh, I have not seen it either. Dude, I cover usually like the camera work. I have not seen those stairs once. It's like a secret entrance. I've never seen it. All right. So let me ask, because I feel like this may have an obvious answer, but do you have a favorite sport to watch on TV and why?
My favorite sport is to watch is football. I'm a big fantasy football guy. I love fantasy football. I love the kind of the numerical stuff like that. And me and Cody are actually partners for our league this year, the team fantasy league. So we've been putting a lot of work into our fantasy team, and I love watching Red Zone on Sunday. It's kind of my process.
You have a
Yeah,
favorite
what's your
NFL
favorite
team?
team?
Yeah.
I'm actually a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Oh, come on. Come on, you know this is gonna, you know this is gonna come, Kyle. You know the whole world, Maple Leafs and Cowboys. Oh, dude.
Yeah, I know.
That's such an unlikely combination.
The losing combination, too, unfortunately.
Yeah, but at least
I thought they were doing decently well this year, though.
Yeah, the Cowboys are doing well this year, but they had a terrible loss this week. And
To someone's favorite team in this group chat. I'm a Broncos fan, but I'll admit, I don't think we're going anywhere.
Yeah. Hey,
best of luck to your team. I won't say more. I won't say more. This is a hockey podcast. I'll save this for another time. All right. Now, have you ever played goalie, just like out of curiosity? And if you haven't, do you ever want to try that?
So actually, funny story. I have like a little backyard rink in my place, and I always used to love playing goalie. Like when we're playing shinny, if it was like we need a guy to throw the pads on, I was always like the first to volunteer. I actually really like playing goalie. And the one, the skate before Christmas, I think maybe sophomore year, that was when all our goalies were hurt. So I actually put the pads on for one of the ends and play goalie. And it's a kind of running joke that if ever our three goalies get hurt, I'm the guy going in. So
you're the e-bug. Oh, that's
yeah, funny. I'm our e-bug goalie if you need it.
Oh, that's great. That's well, I remember because that's interesting. I remember in the archives of the Big Red Men's Hockey Instagram, they have a picture of Tristan Mullen in goalie pads.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, like, you know, why don't they give you any love? Like, come on. Like, you know, you play, you know, you actually played the game. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's funny. It's I know the exact picture you're talking about, Molly. That's the new field trip when the kids come over and we like do like a skills competition for them. So usually you have like a player go in net to score some more goals in the shootout. And I could say this about Molly and goalie. He should definitely stick to playing out because definitely the most mobile guy in the net.
Would you say you have a stand-up goalie style or a hybrid goalie style or butterfly?
Oh, I'm butterfly. I'm ready to go.
100%. Yeah.
If you got goalies hurt, I'm ready to go. I'll hold my own in there.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dave Ayers at
Cornell right here. Damn. All right.
Unrelated now. Do you have a guilty pleasure song? Now, if you need like an example of that, usually like I think the most common would be like Barbie Girl. I forgot who it's made by at the moment, but you know that popular song.
ABBA? I think it's ABBA.
Is it?
Not entirely sure. Or no, Aqua. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it's them.
Okay. Yeah, I know you said. There's honestly one song I kind of like that I've been listening to a bit. Is that it may also be by ABBA, but it's like gimme like a Man After Midnight.
Oh, I love you know that one. Bro. Yeah, I know.
That's yeah, there's like a
yeah, yeah.
There's a new like remix out of it, and it's honestly a pretty good song. I kind of like listening to it. So
It's a good song. It's a good guilty pleasure song, man.
Yeah,
I'll admit it with you. It's a good song.
Okay.
Yeah, and yeah, that's crazy, and. I mean, I just have one. So I got to ask this question. So who do you think, and I'm pretty sure I know what the answer is going to be. Who do you think out of the Big Red hockey team has the best playoff lettuce? Like, or what is the best playoff cabbage you've ever seen at Cornell?
Okay. So I think on this current roster that we have, I think Jack Malone has the best overall lettuce and playoff lettuce.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got some good hair. I'll give him that. And he can even get the man bun going sometimes. I'm not a big fan of it, but he can pull it off. So I'd say he's got the best lettuce. And as far as all time that I've played with, okay, well, not the best, but probably the funniest was Tristan Mullen's playoff hair my last year of junior hockey. He had this mullet going and he had like a goatee and it was just, he also had like racing stripes with the mullet. It was horrible. And it was pretty funny.
Have you told him that?
Oh yeah. I mean, I told him all the time about it. He always jokes about getting the mullet back. And I got quite a few pictures of his hair when he was rocking that.
Wait, I just want to ask one more follow-up question. Who do you think, like, in terms of facial hair, who's got the best facial hair?
So you may be wondering why I'm rocking the mustache right now. But
yes, yeah, of course.
So each year we do like a team Movember competition, and our athletic trainers will like release weekly rankings, like some funny little notes beside each guy based on the ranking. So we just had our first rankings today, and all the boys love it. Like we all rush to the board to see where we're ranked and stuff like that. Proud to say I was number two this week, so good start for me.
Oh, good, good, good.
But best facial hair, I think funniest right now is Sullivan Mack. He just got a young face, and he's just got like a little bit on the edges of his lips and nothing in the middle. It's pretty funny. you could say he's low in the rankings. As far as actual like good facial hair, honestly, Mike Suda, our freshman engineer, he's got a good little goatee going. So,
all right,
he's my early favorite.
I mean, it's No Shave November, so like you know, No Shave November, you got to give it some time. It'll grow out to Sullivan Mack, man. You know, who knows? He might have you all beat by the end of November.
Yeah, you may need a little performance enhancing dye or something to get that mustache.
Oh my goodness! Oh, that's terrible. No. All right. Well, you know, Kyle, we don't want to take up too much of your time, but again, thank you so, so much for, you know, joining us here on the Big Red Hockey Cast. Thank you for this slapshot round and for coming into the sin bin with us. It has been an honor to meet you and to speak with you. I think I speak on behalf of all of us. Thank you very much.
No, thanks again for having me on, guys. It was a blast, and look forward to keep listening to your episodes.
Oh.
Thank you, man.
Oh.
All right. Well, best of luck in the rest of your season. We know you boys will do all right, just to say the very least. All right. Take care, Kyle.
Yeah. Always great to hear from Kyle Betts. You know, I love that conversation. He's such a chill guy. Awesome. Yeah. Great to have him on the podcast, you know. Great to have him on the sin bin. And I loved some of those that slap shot round stuff. Some of those hot takes, man.
I know. I mean, again, the Squid Game thing kind of took me off. It caught me off guard because it was so fast.
Yeah.
So fast. And it's the
just latest right off the really. Tongue. Didn't even think about that. Didn't even think about that. No. But again, always great to speak to Kyle Betts, and we thank him again so much for coming on. You know, wouldn't be possible without the support of the Big Red Hockey team. And honestly, let's take a look ahead. So we got Union November 12th and RPI November 13th at Liner Rink. It's week one of actually, I believe, what is a two-week doubleheader at home. So we've spent the next 2 weeks at home. Lots of hockey to be seen. All the games start at 7 p.m., so I expect all of you Line of Faithful be there at early. We used to get pizza. I don't think we do that now, but like
I don't think
pre-COVID, if we were there, like, you know, before, like if we were there at 6, Mike Schaefer gave us pizza. But I don't know if that happens anymore. But like, anyways, be there early. It's going to be great games for a great look ahead. Union is ranked, so it will be a challenge, definitely. And then RPI, still, again, I think Schaefer said it best, and Kyle Betts as well. You know, you can't really sleep on the guys that you think you're going to beat, because, you know, they might surprise you. So, you know, it's going to be a great weekend of hockey.
Well, of course, we're all looking forward to seeing that. And with that being said, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Big Red Hockey Cast. This has been a Big Red Sports Network production.
See you next week.